Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the show. Got a good one for you today. Two gentlemen join me live in studio for an incredible conversation around a new digital health startup called Roon, R-O-O-N. Vikram Bhaskaran and Dr. Rohan Ramakrishna are the co-founders of Roon. And what's interesting is that Rohan is the chief of neurological surgery at New York Presbyterian and the second neurosurgeon right here on Out of Patients. Why is that exciting? Because I had brain surgery. I don't really get to interact with lots of neurosurgeons in a social setting. So it was kind of karmic, exciting, and I asked him point blank, what's it like to touch a brain? Vikram's life came to a crashing halt when he had to deal with a family member that had ALS. All of that inspired him to leave his job and start Roon with Rohan. Their goal is to make sure that people know shit exists when they need to know it. What a novel idea. They're all about empathy in medicine, understanding burnout, and their primary focus out of the gate with Roon is to support the glioblastoma community, one of the most underserved groups in all of cancer. I'm excited they're here. It's a great conversation. Let's get started. All right, gentlemen. It's nice to physically see you in person here in the studio.
We are excited to be here and see you in person as well, Matt.
I'm going
to
start with Rohan.
Yep.
Because you're the second neurosurgeon to ever be on my show. David Langer was the first neurosurgeon here on my show. And I got to ask him a bunch of cool questions as someone myself who was a customer of someone just like you.
Yep.
What's it like to touch someone's brain?
It continues to be a surreal experience when you open up the brain or open up the skull for the first time. It's not something you'll ever forget. It's a feeling of wonderment and awe that you're able to open up the skull, look at the brain, and impact someone in a positive way. So, and I still feel this way, you know, so many years into being a neurosurgeon.
Okay. Now, the most important question for you, Vikram, I noticed you're on the board of the Museum of Food and Drink. Do I get a hall pass and just a full year of, you know, residency so I can eat anything I want?
That's basically right.
Okay. We're pinky swearing today, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Why that? Why that organization?
You know, I've always been interested in New York City culture. I used to work for the New York City Economic Development Group about a decade ago. And so I've always been very fascinated by the city and how the city evolves. I love food. I love cooking. I recently actually started cooking during the pandemic. And
most of the time it's edible.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, have you 60%. Been over?
Of course, yeah.
You his what's that? Are you the human Epicurus at his dinner table?
Well, you know, it's fun to be his critic only because it's him. But
exactly, yeah.
And the punching bag of the show is.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe it's because I'm such a bad cook that I want to be associated
Wait,
with.
Wait, so has he improved?
Oh no, his food is actually shockingly
edible.
Good.
Is it evidence based?
Is it evidence-based? No.
Okay.
No. It's cookbook-based. I guess that's okay. Evidence-based.
Fair enough. Yeah. But the museum is this amazing, you know, we believe that like food is the front door to every interesting question. And so the goal for the museum is to build a space in New York City that allows you to explore really any topic, but through the lens of food. And so the tagline for the museum is food is culture. And we do amazing shows from the history of the coffee bean to chocolate to really Chinese American food in America, and it's been a lovely thing to do on the side.
Are you sure you're not Jewish?
Exactly.
Because we are the same people, basically.
Exactly.
Food and guilt.
Food and guilt. And mothers. Mothers are the same.
And giant weddings. One more corollary between Indians and Jews. Most of us have last names no one can pronounce. Mm-hmm. I mean, my last name is Zachary, but that's a ruse because that's my middle name. Mm-hmm. My real last name, my legal last name, and everyone knows this, is Greenzweig. Try to spell that.
W-E-I-G?
Oh, you win. Forget it.
Okay. Indians also really good at spelling.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true.
You may have heard of the Scripps spelling bee that the...
I have heard of that.
Indian community seems to dominate every year.
Fantastic. So I want to go back to the early days of the internet because you worked at Pinterest. And I remember very vividly when I was working at Stupid Cancer, we were trying to be at the forefront of all these things popping up. But this was like post-MySpace, post-Friendster. Facebook was kind of Obama started, made Facebook a thing in 08 when he was running. Yep. Twitter was like, whatever this is. YouTube, like, what is you? Oh, tubes. I know what tubes are. My kids are like, what's a tube? What's it called, YouTube? And then this thing called Pinterest came around. We're like, what is this?
Yeah.
And the Gen X version was, oh, it's like a clothesline in the alley of a tenement of things you care about. Is that fair?
You know, when it got started, you know, it was really a small community of people that were saving things on the web and really building beautiful collections. And so when we initially got started, the thought was, you know, make something that anyone could save and organize and showcase their taste. And so we really started with this insight that what if we build a platform that allowed you to look at someone else's taste and get inspiration from other people's taste.
Did you use Pinterest, Rohan?
So when Pinterest took off or was just starting, I was in the middle of neurosurgery residency.
So it took off the day you're actually in surgery on some patient.
He was making terrariums.
Exactly.
Which inspired by Pinterest.
So at the time I was just always working. So my interaction with social media in that phase of my life was pretty limited. So my wife used Pinterest though at the time. And, you know, I think it's interesting because if you think of among the many reasons Pinterest is so amazing is creation of these tastemakers and then, you know, having people interact with that. It's this beautiful way of showcasing and curating content online.
It's like the first visual listicle.
Yep.
Really fascinating. And it really did help Stupid Cancer. We had a whole channel on there.
Oh, wow.
And we let people like share their stories and like Post-it posts of people they lost and memoriam tributes. It was we tried to all right, it's a thing. What do we do with it? Very valuable stuff. So kudos on, well, you didn't found it. You were there like day one, weren't you?
I was there in the very early days and was their first business hire and really was there through the journey.
And they're still around.
They're still around
doing amazing things and they haven't got bought. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Still a private company.
Yeah.
Well, it's a public company.
All right. This is my absolute, I don't understand money. They haven't been acquired.
Hasn't been acquired.
Right. So they're just there doing great stuff.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing with Pinterest is, you know, the way we used to think about it, which is still very much the way the service is today, is people go there for inspiration. Mm-hmm. And we always used to say, or, you know, that Google was really good for questions that have one right answer. Mm-hmm. But for all of the questions that are subjective, where you want to see creative possibilities, right? Your dream home, where you want to go on vacation, what should you make for dinner? There's no one right answer. Pinterest is really good at showcasing or showing you a range of different things that you can discover. And so, you know, what Google did to search, Pinterest did to discovery. And it's still an amazing product for questions. Like Rohan probably has a hairstyle board.
Yes.
Which is a private board.
For our listeners, it's more of a aspirational board.
Exactly.
All right, so I'm getting to how the Pinterest guy met the neurosurgeon guy, but I want to ask him one more question.
Yeah.
You know, as an underachiever with no credentials to your name whatsoever, why neurosurgery?
The brain is just fundamentally, I think, the most fascinating thing in the universe, right? I mean, if you think of the universe tends towards entropy or disorder, the complete diametric opposite is the brain. It's the most organized thing we know of in the observable or even unobservable universe, right? And the ability to interact with that surgically and hopefully positively impact people as a result, you know, was just incredibly fascinating to me when I first chose neurosurgery and still remains to this day fascinating. So, and there's so much about the brain that's just clearly yet to be discovered in terms of how physicians can impact neurologic diseases, but then also just in terms of how the brain works and how it recovers and reorganizes and neuroplasticity. All of those things are incredibly fascinating to me.
What is the number one thing you can debunk about what people think of the brain?
That's a great question.
Like, do we really only use 3%?
Yes, that's a great one. So we use our whole brain. We don't have these vast geographic regions of unused real estate. You know, we use everything. Now, there are parts that apparently you can do without. For example, we sometimes take out the temporal lobe in patients, particularly on the right side, and people generally have no real effect from that. Obviously, it's the context of disease. We don't do that in a normal person without any brain illness.
I am missing my temporal lobe.
Yes. Yeah.
I should have told you.
He's missing his amygdala.
His T-shirt says frontal lobes are for losers.
Exactly.
You don't even need one. So that's the answer?
Yeah, I think.
Does fish make you smarter?
Eating fish makes you smarter? Omega-3 acids, that's not a myth. I think omega-3 acids are actually good for brain health.
Yes. And he's a doctor. All right. So how did Harry meet Sally?
We have different versions and there's revisionist history. So I'll let him tell his version.
Yeah. You put two Indians and a Jew in a room, you get seven opinions.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was at a bar in India with my now wife. On our first date, and we were just having a conversation, and then
he the waiter?
No, he was. And then he came over to me and said, "Hey, are you Rashmi's sister? Rashmi's my sister, mm-hmm. or Rashmi's brother?" And I said, and I was completely shell shocked because I had no idea who this was. I was in the middle of my date, having strong game. Yeah. I think, you know, in retrospect,
bravo.
And I said, yeah. And so that's how we first met in a bar in India on our first date.
And the first date was not with me, but with his wife.
We did clarify that.
It wasn't Rohan and I on the first date.
Wait, did you like, who is this guy and why are you stalking me? Or was it like, I like this guy and you're in the club?
Well, it was a very brief interaction of one where I was surprised and he was trying to figure out this familial relationship he'd discovered. So yeah, that was the thing. And it turns out that he ended up marrying my sister.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
So you wanted a Bollywood story. We give you a Bollywood story in the first 3 minutes of the show.
Yeah. And we talked about weddings before weddings. So
exactly, yeah. And my version of the story is my wife used to wear sunglasses indoors. And that's like one of the signature things she does. Still today. It's like a fashion thing.
And I mean, on her head. Not
on her head.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
I should be clear. She's going to kill me when she hears this.
When she goes to the mirror, she must be really different.
Like Anna Wintour.
Yeah, right. And then Rohan, you know, was wearing sunglasses on his head indoors. That signature move made me make a causal connection in my brain that these two may be related. And so I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, are you Rashmi's brother?" And in my first thought was, hey, there's a billion Indians. It's quite unlikely that another Indian dude in a bar wearing glasses indoors is the brother of your girlfriend at the time. But sure enough, it was, you know, and then that led to decades-long friendships. And our worlds have never really intersected. I think Pinterest and neurosurgery rarely intersect, except for the terrariums that Rohan made.
The set terrariums.
The set terrariums. But we've known each other for a while. And I always like to say that, you know, business moves at the speed of trust. Mm-hmm. And so what's really fun about building this company with Rohan and our other third co-founder is we say whatever we want to each other and there's just a high trust environment. And so...
Yeah. No, I think working together has been, you know, one of the joys of my adult life so far in the sense of working on a new problem and really trying to bring something new into the world that can... transform, hopefully, the lives of patients and caregivers that are experiencing challenging health conditions. And like Vikram said, it's like we have, thankfully, between our, not just the three co-founders and us, but our whole team, this nice culture where, you know, we can challenge each other. There's really it's not about hard feelings. It's about just pushing. We're all sort of aligned and trying to make the best possible product for our patients and caregivers.
Well, we're going to get to Rune in the second half of the show.
You did
mention a billion Indians, and I did stalk your YouTube a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I typed your name in. By the way, there's another person with your name. Maybe that's entirely common.
Doppelganger.
Right. Yeah. And all he does is, I'm going to pronounce this incorrect, Samaveda chanting?
Some of it, that's not me.
No, we know that's not you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But if you type in your name, you get a bunch of stuff of you and then this poor guy that's doing this chanting on YouTube. But you gave a TED talk or some kind of talk, TED-ish talk, called An Inside Joke for a Billion People.
Good researcher you are.
Most
people don't find
that. I'm not a journalist, but I play one on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess how many views it's had.
It's been 5 years since I've checked. So
82,000.
Wow.
Very impressive. And there was one comment in particular that stood out to me. I'm readily amazed how much we talk. Yes. I love that you called it nostalgia.
Yep.
I love that you called it nostalgia.
Yeah.
Right? A passion for the 80s and 90s. Enduring theme here on the show, by the way.
Oh, I love the 80s. It's the best decade.
What was the best cartoon in the 80s in India?
Ooh, so we had, you know, India was a socialist country for most of my childhood. And so we had state...
Yeah, the queen just died. So.
State-run television. So we had like four channels. And there was this very absurd show called Giant Robot. It was just like a giant robot that would go around a city and destroy a city. So not much happened except for this robot running free, destroying everything in its path. But we didn't know better in the, you know, and then MTV showed up when I was 16 and then we were like...
Just changed the world.
Changed the world. We were like, damn, why have I wasted
my youth on giant robot? Where have you been my whole life?
What was your favorite 80s cartoon?
Voltron.
Love Voltron.
Yeah.
Defender of the Universe.
Yes. Thundercats.
Ho!
DuckTales.
Well, life is like a hurricane.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But Google Voltron.
Yeah.
It's worth your time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what was the gist of this talk about? And then we're going to cut to the break because I think it's highly relevant to what you're doing today.
Yeah, actually. So, you know, India, I grew up in India. We have thousands of languages, literally thousands of languages. At the time, 350 million English speakers. And, you know, I've always loved slang. And at some point, it just occurred to me that we have such a rich culture of slang and all of the different languages intermingling with English in amazing ways. And of course, I saw the Urban Dictionary and I was like, hey, we have a billion people. We have, you know, amazing slang. We should build an Indian or South Asian Urban Dictionary. And so we launched it, you know, about a decade ago. It was called Samosapedia. And it took off, right? So people loved it, thousands of words. We ended up building the largest Indian or South Asian encyclopedia of slang. And
all the dirty words too, right?
All the good words. It was just like an amazing thing because I think, you know, the big insight we had was like language is culture. And so through defining words and celebrating language, people felt a deep sense of connection and a new type of internet community formed, right? This community where they all felt that they could, they all had an inside joke and it brought them closer together. And so it was a really fun project, but haven't visited or revisited in a while.
Must be scary by now. Lots of new words keep popping up.
Yeah. And so.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and maybe we'll hear an ad for Bollywood. Maybe not. Yeah. Come on, let's channel it. It's all random. There might be some amazing Bollywood movie ad coming up right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, let's talk family, right? Your dad, and what I've read and heard about him, reminds me of my dad. They're caring, empathetic, scared to death of him maybe a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Always wanted to make him happy and please him. And my dad went through a life-altering experience, and we somehow banded together, but your father is kind of what is driving your path these days.
Yeah.
So let's talk about him.
For most of my dad's life, you know, we always remember him as an entrepreneur, a storyteller, you know, an athlete, amazing father, musician. And he was definitely like a larger than life person. That he was one of the guys who you walk into a room and, you know, everyone just circles around him. Very charismatic person. And we had a very amazing childhood, but then at the age of 59, he was diagnosed with ALS. And of course, it presented as symptoms, and then one day we realized it was ALS. ALS is a Lou Gehrig's disease, yeah. Rare neurodegenerative disease. You know, it basically makes you lose all your muscles, right? And average lifespan, 3 to 5 years. And I think that single incident really has shaped my life since then, my worldview, and in multiple ways. For one, I think it's just made me acutely appreciate the limited time on the planet. And mortality is something that I've just become very much someone that lives in the present. And then two is, I think in a weird way, it was a very dark period, but it ended up being a gift because it forced me to rethink my career. And the journey of navigating that condition was so dark and so bleak for mostly my mom and then most of our family, that I felt, you know, a real moral obligation to do something about it. And yeah.
So that sparked the idea behind Rune.
Yep.
But what was the thing that you felt was missing the most that you wanted to solve for?
You know, it started off as an emotional space, which was, the disease was so isolating. You know, ALS affects tens of thousands of people. And in a country like India, it felt even more isolating, right? In India, there's 1,000 neurologists. There's 1,000 neurologists in Massachusetts.
Wait, for a billion people, there's 1,000 neurologists.
Yeah. So there's a massive like neurology shortage. And so the journey of just like not knowing what this was, the 18-month cycle, you know, window to diagnosis, the fact that we didn't have access to, you know, the same quality care, access to clinical trials, every part of this extremely hard journey was infinitely harder because we were sort of cut off from, you know, experts. And then, you know, I was at this internet company and most of my time—
This small internet company.
But like, you know, most of our intellectual capital was spent thinking about how we build a beautiful version of the internet for people navigating, you know, quote unquote, like lifestyle questions. And it was just, it hit me like a lightning bolt where I was like, here I am, you know, at Pinterest. We have some of the best designers, product thinkers, engineers, storytellers. And we put so much stock into, you know, getting happy people live a little bit happier, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's an amazing service. But I, you know, so go home every night and see how hard it was for our family to navigate very simple things, like, you know, basic information around the condition, right? Google took us down infinite rabbit holes of misinformation and it felt overwhelming. If we joined communities online to find other people, mostly at the time and still Facebook groups, we found that there were no experts in the room. So again, this sort of morass of more misinformation. And it was just crazy to me that, you know, at the time, it was 2018, we, you know, I lived and worked in Silicon Valley and New York, and we had so much mind share on problems that really didn't affect my father and my family. And then the experience of health was just so bad. And when I did a little bit of soul searching and talked to people outside of the ALS community, it was the same story again and again, right? If you had, whether it was breast cancer or a caregiver for someone with dementia, or if your child had a rare condition.
Just endless common threads.
The same common thread, which is I feel alone, the internet feels really scary, and I don't feel supported. And it occurred to me that even though it's the core insight came from one journey with a rare condition, it was a much larger, broader human problem. And so, yeah, that sparked Roon. Roon is my dad's name.
And that's R-O-O-N, not R-O-O-N. Roon like Dune, which is a terrible
Yeah, exactly. And so the name is, I wanted to really put the patient, the inspiration of the person at the center. My dad's name was A-R-U-N, Arun. So Roon is a play on his name. Rohan and I really wanted to make sure that the name was short and easy to remember.
Yes, good branding,
because
by the way.
Universally, if you're in a crisis, we wanted you to be able to, you know, it should be four words, four letters.
Roon, and the domain was available?
Roon.care.
Roon.care.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, dot care.
Dot yeah. care.
Top level domains for the win.
Exactly, yeah. We joke that Roon is also Rohan on, Ro, comma, on, but it's a nod to the fact that we can't build this without doctors.
Right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit.
So when did you lose the bet to start this company with them?
Well, it turns out the melding of the minds was really during the pandemic, because we were quarantined around each other. And for years, you know, to take a step back, for me, you know, I've always wanted to be the best neurosurgeon I could possibly be and deliver the best possible care I could always deliver.
I mean, you'd know right away if you were a bad neurosurgeon.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. And patient experience is a huge part of that. And I just remember in clinic all the time, people asking me, you know, for years, you know, what are some great resources that, or what are any resources that we can go to help manage this disease? And, you know, I was a little ashamed of the internet from a standpoint of giving a real recommendation. You know, there's some great advocacy groups out there, but, you know, that's not the end all be all of content or community when it comes to navigating a serious illness. So, you know, I was just thinking to myself, there's got to be a better way where we take the best of product design, engineering, all these, and medicine, things where people have spent countless energy and capital to make shopping easier.
Yes.
Why aren't we developing and using and harnessing that same intelligence and resources to make the experience of health and disease better for patients and families?
And well, because no one wants it.
Well,
you live in a supply-only economy, my friend.
Yes, yes.
I can't wait to get brain cancer, said no one ever. You're developing products and services for a market that doesn't want it, need it, or even knows it exists to help them when they didn't know they needed it.
Right, yeah. Right. And then the other piece of it as a doctor is that, you know, you think of the ways that we're able to communicate and the things that we love to do. You know, if you ask any doctor, the real thing that they love, if you strip away the EMR and billing and Epic and all these things.
Let's take money out of healthcare for a second.
Yeah.
How much easier would it be?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that doctors love is that patient-doctor interaction, right? It's like that fundamental human helping another human piece that makes medicine so enjoyable. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, in addition to creating a resource of support, information, and empowerment, is to allow doctors to participate at scale and really amplify that primordial piece of medicine, which is the patient-doctor interaction, and make that fun, delightful for doctors.
Okay, so, now to the Shark Tank round of the show.
Yeah.
These are short questions, short answers.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is Roon? Vikram.
Roon aspires to be the place where people navigating complex conditions go to find information, community, and support.
I noticed in your boilerplate you said, the most supportive place online for people navigating complex health conditions,
yeah.
Which reminded me of my wife's question, why does every bagel store in Brooklyn say Brooklyn's best bagels?
Mm.
Because they can.
Yeah.
I'd like to believe that this is the most supportive place online, but is it? You have to. I'm riding you because I can.
And to that, I think it's going back to Samosapedia, you know, we started it and we said it's the definitive guide to South Asian
lingo. Well, because
lingo.
It became the definitive
it became,
guide.
And I think, you know, you start with your North Star, and our North Star from day one is, can we build the most supportive place online?
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But this goes back to the intervention of what you didn't know you needed.
Yeah.
All right. How does it work?
So currently, Rune is a service that is sort of a meld, mind meld of Quora, Reddit, and Masterclass.
And not Pinterest?
Not really Pinterest. not really Pinterest. But really what it does is provides information guided by experts in the field, but also by patients and caregivers who have experienced it. And our North Star when we launched Rune several weeks ago was, can we be better than Google for this one condition?
Mm-hmm.
And I think—
Which is what? Glioblastoma.
Glioblastoma.
Your first product. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Glioblastoma, for those who don't know, is a brain cancer, sadly very lethal, and incredible challenges for families that are navigating the disease. And so our goal was, we know that people go to Google, WebMD, Facebook looking for answers, right? Looking for, you know, light in a lot of darkness. And we wanted to show that we could provide a journey or information that was journey specific, empathic, and continuously updating, you know, to create the best resource for patients and families navigating the disease. And so I think, you know, our feedback, thankfully, has been amazing so far.
By the way, in ticking the checkbox of bald, good-looking brain cancer dudes, Adam Hayden, great guy, great friend. I'm not offended. Moving on. So is the supposition that any family affected by a glioblastoma diagnosis is made aware of Rune across all health systems and all, presumably all, neurosurgical, neuro-oncologic, neuro-whatever.
So one of the things that I think is important to us is that Rune is not a hospital marketing website, right? So any content really that you find about an illness nowadays is drives you back to some hospital website because they want to drive you to their hospital. There's an agenda there, right? Our agenda is, you know, is as pure as it can be, which is we want to create something where it's maximally impactful and useful for anyone navigating the disease, no matter where you are. So whether in the US or Canada and eventually, you know, globally. So, you know, we're not trying to push any one particular thing. We're trying to push the best information and resources for anyone that has a disease.
Just to build on that, there's two sources of information when you navigate any health condition. There's stuff that only someone who's as bald and good-looking as Mohan should answer, a neurosurgeon, a medically trained professional.
Yeah, this is radio. No one knows you're bald. Like
exactly.
Me.
I should not have said that. But but then there's stuff that only other people in the trenches can teach you or, you know, when my dad had ALS, we had questions like, how can we find a home health aide in Bangalore, India? A neurologist, you know, at UCSF will not know the answer to that question. And so a big product insight for us is, how do we get the best of medical expertise with the best patient caregiver community that usually develops, sadly, encyclopedic knowledge mm-hmm. about navigating the condition? And it is the coalescing of, you know, the MD and the tribal knowledge that makes it special.
Right. 20 years ago, that was called community wealth. Remember that term?
Exactly.
Community wealth. It sounded really fancy. Like, I'm a blogger. Community wealth.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. This tribal knowledge that builds up, we just call it life hacks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have a reapplication of life hacks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, we have a informational bucket on our app called Life Hacks.
Oh, really?
Specifically that. So I think—
You know, that's maybe not public domain. I said it first.
And the idea behind that is, how do we harness this tribal expertise
mm-hmm.
And do it in a way that's crowdsourced but still intelligent and surfaces the best stuff?
And speaking of Adam Hayden, that's what Adam, you know, you'll see Rohan on the videos, but Adam will talk about the experience of X and people find the patient view that really goes through the experience of something as valuable, if not more valuable, than the medical perspective.
And I think the flip side, too, that we've learned sort of unintentionally is how much the doctors learn from hearing the patient experience. Now, that sounds like it should be self-evident.
Yeah.
You know, doctors should be listening to the patients all the time. But I think the just number of insights that patients and families bring to the management of the disease and how doctors can help them with that is a two-way street. It's not just a one-way street. And I think all our doctors have been surprised at how much they've learned during this process themselves.
Well, I like the fact that there's almost like a two-way empathy street mm-hmm. here too. Mm-hmm. It's yes, you need the medical mechanics mm-hmm. of this, but the fact that you can create more of a holistic relationship that's mm-hmm. based on trust, despite burnout ruining things, which is a separate podcast we can do, is really valuable. So wrapping up real quick, let's get into the last question is, how can anyone listening that's affected by glio or anything, it's just an ideal model for this. What can patients do, or is it completely dependent on doctors to tell them, or can Google know it exists?
Yep, I can start. I think the first thing anyone listening should do, and if you are touched by glioblastoma in any way, patient, caregiver, or someone that knows someone, is go to rune.care. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. The reason we have a sign up flow is, you know, we really want it to be a safe space. We also want to understand where you are on the journey. And so a lot of the experience is mindful of where you are on the journey. And basically, once you log on, you get what Rohan alluded to, which is, you know, a masterclass-like set of content with patients, caregivers, and some of the leading medical experts on that space, on glioblastoma, really teaching you about how to navigate this journey. And then you get access to an instant community of other people around the country, eventually around the world, sort of to guide you as you go along with it. The goal is to open it up to many more conditions, because I think this core insight we've had, which is that, you know, the kind of digital front door for health is open, that no one knows where to start when they have a hard, complex, you know, health condition, is universal, and we're going after that, that insight across a range of different conditions. So the goal is to launch something for dementia, for ALS.
It's a good scaling strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Rohan, take us home.
If I take a step back, one of the things that drives me crazy in modern medicine is this idea of concierge medicine, where you pay for better access, better, you know, quote-unquote care, et cetera. And my view is concierge care should be available to every single human on the planet, right?
Amen.
And I think what we're hoping with Rune is that we are your consigliere, your guide for all of life's hardest journeys, right? And that's what we aspire to be, and that's our North Star.
All right, Vikram Bhaskaram and Rohan Ramakrishna.
Yes.
What do I win for saying that correctly?
A cannoli.
By the way, 2020...
A 500-person Indian wedding.
50,000-person
Indian wedding. We'll stage the whole wedding for you.
And I got to go to the Museum of Food and Drink. Permanent admission.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, 2022 New York Super Doctor. I should point that out. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Did they give you a cape?
They gave me a frame that I have to buy.
Okay. Okay. All right. Rune.care is the platform. Check it out. And we will see you back next time here on Out of Patients. Gentlemen, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
Out of Patients with Matthew Zachary is an Off-Script Health production. The executive producers are Matthew Zachary and Andrew McDowell. Our senior producer is Sarah Rosa Davies. It's mixed and edited by Sarah Rosa Davies and Kyle Moore. Special thanks to Brianna Seely for added support. If you like the show, ratings and reviews are always welcome. Leave us a message anytime at 855-AUDIO-66. That's 855-AUDIO-66 to share your healthcare shitness with us, and we might just play them on the air on a future episode. For more information about this show and Off-Script Health, visit offscript.com. That's offscript, no T, .com.